Job chapter 29 tonight. Job chapter 29. I was reading this over the other day, and this just kind of jumped off the page at me, and I thought it was so good that I wanted to share it with somebody, so I shared it with my wife, and I thought it was pretty good, so I thought I'd share it with y'all tonight. Job chapter 29. Job is now thinking back over his life. He is now in the midst of his trials and troubles. There's not been a man, I don't think, that has suffered like Job since the days of Job. The Bible said that Job was the richest man in all the East. I'm talking about not a rich man, but the richest man. He had more money than Bill Gates, more money than Donald Trump. He had more automobiles than Jay Leno. Camels, by the way. He had more cattle than any other person living during that time. And then the Lord saw fit to allow the devil to come and to touch Job, and the Bible said that Satan had to get permission. And God told Satan, he said, you can touch him, but you can't kill him. And Satan went out, and all of a sudden the trials began to come into Job's life. He lost all of his cattle, he lost all of his sheep, lost all of his material belongings. And then all 10 of his children were killed. More than likely a tornado hit the house. They were all gathered together in a house, and celebrating probably one of them's birthday, the way the Bible reads, and a great wind smote the house, and all 10 of them died. Then Job's health was affected. From the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, he was smitten with boils. His wife turned against him and said, Job, you're a mess. Why don't you curse God and die? He said, woman, you talk as a foolish woman. He said, though he destroy me, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet I shall see my Lord. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. His friends came to him and they said, Job, if you'd only get right with God, you wouldn't have all these troubles. Have you ever had anybody tell you that? Problems come your way, disappointments come your way, loss of job comes your way. And they jump on the bandwagon. They said, if you just get right with God, you wouldn't have all these problems. So now he's lost his wealth, he's lost his health, he's lost his family, he's lost his friends, his reputation, everything is down the drain. And you'd probably say, if that was my case, I'd just go find a hole and dig myself a hole and cover it up and be done with it, and I'm finished, it's over, stick a fork in me, I'm done. But not Job. In chapter 29, he is now in the midst of all this trials, all this pain, all this boils, friends turned against him, and Job begins to reminisce about what God has done for him. We pick up reading in verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, Oh, that I were as in the months past, or as in the days when God preserved me. Now, he's thinking back. He's thinking back to some of the days that were in the past, the times that he would enjoy his family together, the times he would enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Look in verse number 2. Oh, that I were in the months of the past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. when I went out to the gate through the city. Now watch this reading here. I'll come back and explain a little bit, but let me just explain some of it as we go down through here. He said in verse 7, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. They did so out of respect. Here he is, the richest man, and here he is coming into town. The young men run, hide themselves. The older people, out of reverence, respect, they stand up. They honor Job, for they know what kind of man he is. Not only was he a rich man, but he was a giving man. He looked to the needs of others and was willing to give of his abundance. Read on. He said in verse 9, the princesses refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. They just closed their mouth up. They didn't want to say a word. Job's in the street. The nobles held their peace and their tongue clave to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help him. Job said, when I walked down into the street, the young people stood up, they reverenced Job, they respected him. Why? Because as he comes into the street, there's folk that need something, there's some people that need something, and Job is not a stingy man, Job is a giving man, and Job reaches down and bestows out a blessing unto them. For it reads here, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Here's a woman that's lost her husband and probably had nothing much to eat. Job said, I provided for this widow. Read on. I put on righteousness, and it was clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was the eyes to the blind and the feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor. And the cause which I knew not, I searched out, and I brake the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest. I shall multiply my days as the sand. Let me stop there and say this. There's not one of us in here tonight that do not want the blessings of God on our life. Would you agree with me? Everybody in here wants God to bless us? Amen. The way in which we want the blessings of God is to be a blessing to somebody else. Y'all agree with me? Amen. The Bible said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosoms. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all shall be measured to you again. Everybody wants the blessings of God, but God cannot bless a Christian that's not willing to give out of his substance to help somebody else, to help the cause of Christ, to help others. Me see, my friend, we are a channel of blessing. God doesn't just pour it on us so that we can pay our pockets and so that we can put it in the bank. God says, I'm blessing you so that you can bless somebody else. Y'all agree with me on that? Say amen. That's what Job did. He found the secret of God's success. You read these verses here. He said, I was the eyes of the blind. I walked across, saw this blind man. He perhaps sitting out there with a coin and sitting out there with a cup. And Job said, fill that cup up. He said, that lame man laying over yonder, he can't get up. He can't work. Job walked by and he said, help that lame man out. Give him some of my goods. And I believe Job found the key to success right here was that God blesses a giving heart. Amen? God, listen, and listen, folk, over the years I've been in this, I have found this to be a fact, that God will bless those that will give sacrificially, not out of abundance, not out of the overflow, but God blesses those that will give sacrificially, not only unto Him, but unto other people. There's been times, listen, there have been times that God put something on my heart to do for somebody, and I didn't have it. I didn't have the extra, but I did it, and guess what? God blessed me abundantly. My friend, if we learn this lesson tonight, you'll go much further than you are. You'll have the blessings of God on your life. Now, we can read on for just a few minutes, but I think I'll stop right there. Here's what I want you to see tonight. In verse number 6, when I washed my steps with butter. Now, Miss Joanne, when I read that the other day, I'll be honest with you, I've read that before. I'm sure I've read it before. But the other day, I thought to myself, what in the world is he talking about? I've just washed my steps with butter. Now, I know what butter is. Praise God, I know what butter is. Amen. Y'all know what butter is, right? Amen. I mean, a big old whole cake about that big around with the slab of butter, homemade butter. We brought some of that butter back from the Amish country. We went up there a couple years ago with the church group. Praise God, that is good stuff, butter. Now, what is Job talking about here? I wash my steps with butter. Now, what he is not talking about is that he did not get out a cake of butter and go out yonder and cover the steps to his house and cover the steps to the palace with butter. That's not what he's talking about. That would have made a slippery mess. He's talking about his personal steps. And so I began to try to do a little reading and a little digging on this thing, and here's what I come up with. This is what I learned. This is what somebody else says that's a lot smarter than I am. And they said this, that Job had such an abundance of cattle, milk cows, that when the servants would go out to the fields and they would milk them cows, the pails of their buckets would run over on their way back to the dairy to put the milk in there, to process it, to heat it up, whatever they did with it. But as they carried those pails of milk, it sloshed out on the ground. And it was so much in abundance, it would form milk puddles. And when Job would come out of his house and start toward the field, Miss Joanne, he'd step in them milk puddles. He'd get that milk all over him. Now, instead of cussing and instead of getting upset, you know what he'd have done? He'd have gone, glory to God, hallelujah, thank the Lord, amen. I'm stepping in milk puddles. You know why? Because, beloved, the milk puddles was a sign of the blessings of an almighty God on him. The blessings of God ran over the pail, down into the ground, formed them puddles, and I believe every time Job walked by, stopped in them puddles, he'd say, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank the Lord, and milk would be flying everywhere, milk would be going everywhere. He'd get his clothes soaked in milk, he'd get his face soaked in milk, he'd come back home, his wife would say, honey, where you been? He said, I've been walking through the fields, and I've been stepping in them milk puddles. How good, how great, how wonderful is the God which I serve. The blessings of the milk puddles. And I can just use my imagination here. I'm just maybe a little far stretched, but I'm telling you what he said. My steps are in butter. You know what? Y'all been around long enough.
My mom and daddy had an old-fashioned churn in the kitchen. They never used it, set there for decoration. But you take real milk and you put it in that churn. You take that dasher, right? Amen? Some of you know what I'm talking about? And you start working that milk up and down, that milk up and down, that cream. Maybe I'm getting off the subject. But anyway, you keep a working it and it turns into what? Butter. And friend, I just want to imagine old Job get out yonder and he just, I don't know, but I'm just thinking that he's out yonder stomping, having himself a good old time, and he'd look down and all of a sudden it wasn't milk any longer, but butter had come up. I mean, he got butter between his toes. He's got butter all over him. He'd say, glory to God, thank the Lord, my steps are covered in butter. That's the blessing of God on me. God's been good to you and me. He's blessed you and me. I want to give you four or five things I thank God for tonight. The blessings of God, number one. I believe, my friend, every time old Job stepped in a milk puddle, he was reminded of how good God had been to him. Every time he splashed some milk up, he'd say, thank God for what he's done for me. Glory to God what he's brought me through. Thank the Lord for his guidance. Thank the Lord for his direction. Thank the Lord I got up this morning, was able to put my clothes on. I thank God I'm breathing air. I'm walking upright. I can sit down to a table of food. I'm able to have my right senses. I'm able to read. I'm able to sing. And old Job would say, thank God for the milk puddles. I think number one, I've been blessed with the compassionate Christ. I thank God tonight that I have a Savior that loves me at all times. He loves me when I'm good. He loves me when I'm bad. He loves me when I'm up. He loves me when I'm sad. He loves me. Oh, he loves me. And he loves you. And my friend, when you get out here in this world and you look around and you say, you know, I ain't got much. Maybe you live in a, listen, my mom and daddy, we lived on the mill side of town. We was up yonder the other week going to the nursing home, and I turned down. I told my wife, I said, right yonder's the battery plant Daddy used to work in. We rode by the railroad track, had the sign Edna. My dad and my granddad worked in Edna Cotton Mill. We lived on the mill side of town. We lived down on Burton Street, Lawsonville Avenue. We lived over on the mill section of town. I mean, I'd go outside, take a ball, throw it up on my grandmother's house, that old tin roof, hit that roof and roll down. I mean, listen, we had the wood that my granddaddy had to cut, and that we had a wood fire. We had a kitchen wood stove and had one in the living room. Didn't have no heat except for the wood stove. But I want to tell you something. Oh, God has been good to this old boy. I mean, listen, friend, he's so good to me. Every time I get out trying to step in some milk puddles, I want to say thank God for what he's done for me. He loves me. He gave his life for me. He died for me. As our brother sang tonight, he didn't know what I was going to preach about. But who am I? Who am I that a king would leave his throne in glory? Who am I that he would come to this earth and die in my place? Who am I that a king would slip off his robe of righteousness and come down in the midst of a bunch of wicked, oh, good-for-nothing, rotten, hell-bound sinners and die for us? Hallelujah! God's been good. Been good. He'll come back for me one of these days. If I was the only one, he would come back for me. But thank God, I'm not just the only one. There are saints by the scores that are awaiting their bodies in the ground somewhere. Their bodies are out trying to corrupt him. But one day, he's going to come back. And oh, blessed be the day when he breaks the eastern skies, gives the shout, the dead in Christ rise. The living's going to be changed. What a compassionate, loving Savior to do that for me. And then he's going to redeem these old corruptible bodies. Y'all around the house sometime, you ever get tickled at one another? My wife the other day, she couldn't see to read something. I said, "Oh, I got two pair of glasses out yonder in the truck." And she's doing this number, and it just wasn't long enough. She finally broke down, went out there in the truck, and put them on. Said, that works a whole lot better. These bodies are wearing out, aren't they? Listen. I wish I could, but I can't go like I used to go. Now, you say, "Preacher, you're still young." Well, tell this body that sometimes. I used to could go. I told Howard Parrish, he come out there the other day, we had to get a well worked on. And I know time changes things, but my brother Steve, I remember when my daddy retired, he retired the same age I am right now. He retired at age 59. And he and I worked together. I was only in my 20s, but I'd get down on, Brother James, I'm sure you could do the same. I'd get down yonder on concrete, run that baseboard, I'd run the whole house full. We'd do the windows, the crown mold, up a ladder and down the ladder. I mean, it didn't matter. When I first came out of Bible college, I didn't get no job in the church. I got a job framing houses in the hot summertime, and they didn't have no nail guns back then. You had an apron full of nails, and buddy, you went at it all day long. But I can't do that today. I cannot do that today. Y'all might as well just shoot me. I can't do that today. I might drive a half a dozen, but that's about it. Say amen. And as long as they're up here, if it's bending over, you can forget it right there. Amen. Why? Because these bodies are wearing out. But thank God, He is a compassionate God, and one day He's going to redeem these old corruptible. I'm going to have one that will never grow old. I'll have one that will never age. I'll have one that will never wear out. Sister Reader, praise God, there won't be no calories in heaven. Glory to God. We sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. If I want the whole chocolate cake, I'm going to eat it. Amen. Yes, sir. You say you do that anyway. I know, but I don't have to worry about the calories up yonder. My wife and I stopped the other night after we went to see her daddy in the hospital. I'll not say the name of the restaurant, but if you're ever up in Reedsville, the initials are Farmer's Table. I just say that much. Amen. But glory to God. My wife said, "You going to get some dessert?" I said, "I think I will." And I said, "I'll have, y'all got that strawberry cobbler?" "Yes, sir." I said, "I'll have strawberry." She said, "Now, that's a good size bowl." I said, "Okay." And I said, "Put some ice cream on it." And so she brought that out there and set it down. And I dug into it. And my wife said, "I thought we were going to get one and split it." I said, "No, we're not." I said, "You can have your own, but I've got, this is mine." And I finished it. Amen. What a blessing to have a body that will never age, wear out, no glasses, no false teeth, no shortness of breath. Amen. What a blessing that is. Stop them mud puddles. Stop them milk puddles. Make that better, because thank God for the blessings. We're going to have a glorified body. Number two tonight, I've been blessed with a celestial city that's going to be my home. This home down here is passing away. I told this lady this morning, isn't it amazing that if you're a plumber, there's always pipes in your house that leaks, and if you're a carpenter, there's always something that's broken that needs fixing carpenter-wise. Amen? Amen. These houses, as elaborate and as beautiful as they are wearing out. And they're going to turn into dust one of these days. One of these days, they're going to be set on fire. And everything down here, including your automobile, including your buildings, including everything you work for, one of these days is going to be turned into ashes. But thank God we've got a celestial city, a building of God, eternal in the heavens. The choir sing about it. I've got a mansion over the hilltop, and it's just ready for me. stomp them milk puddles. Amen. My steps are in butter. Third of all, I've been blessed with the church family. Old Brother Broadway prayed tonight. I didn't know what he was going to pray, but he was thanking God for me, for his pastor. My friend, we ought to stomp them milk puddles and say, thank God we've got some church family friends and loved ones. Isn't it good? I mean, listen, I got news for you. I don't know what's going on TV tonight. I know there's a race going on, but I'm glad you come to the house of God tonight. I'm not against races, but I want to say something. Hey, the best place you can be is right here in the house of God, amongst God's people, hearing God's word, fellowshipping. That'll give you something that the TV can't give you. I'm glad I got a church family. Jesus loved the church. He gave himself for it. We ought to love the church. Can I bear a little bit of my soul? Can I bear a little bit? What if I were to tell one of you ladies? What if I were to say to you, would you prepare dinner for me and my wife next Sunday? And you go home and you fix this wonderful meal. You got all these vegetables, you got all this bread. You got all of these meats and stuff, and you said, preacher's coming. We want to feed him, he and his wife. We want to give him a good meal. And then I don't show up, and the food is cold. And some of it, you got to throw it out, because it ain't no good to save it. And then when you see me, you say, preacher, I thought you was coming over. Well, you know, Miss Joanne, I didn't think it was that important. I knew some other people would probably be coming by, and I didn't bother. You could feed them other people instead of feeding me, and I'll see you, you know, maybe in a couple 3 weeks. Maybe I'll come by in a couple 3 weeks, and then you can feed me. Boy, you wouldn't think much of me, would you? I wouldn't think much of me either. Can I tell you something? When a man of God, regardless of who stands behind that sacred desk right there, when a man of God has studied and he's prepared and he's prayed and he believes he's got the message that he ought to give to the people of God. Friend, this is a one-shot opportunity. You realize that you'll never be in the same place at the same time with the same group of people. You'll not hear this message again. It's a one-shot deal. And friend, let me tell you something. Is that we need to get all we can get while we can get it, because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know when you might be laid up in the hospital. We don't know when your death door is going to ring. Amen? Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Look in verse 5. I've been blessed by having caring friends and a loving family. Look in verse 5. When the Almighty was yet within me, when my children were about me. The reason we was late tonight, my wife said, you can blame it on Ava Lee. I said, no, I'm going to blame it on you. Amen. But we went by to see she wasn't feeling good today. She was running a fever. But I tell you what, when you open the door and she starts hollering, Poppy and Nana, I tell you what, that'll bless your heart. Amen. Isn't it good to have some family and friends and family members, children that will encourage you and keep you going and keep you young? I've been blessed. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your wife and your husband and all the grandkids and all the... Hey, just go out and stomp around in them milk puddles and say, glory to God, I've been blessed. I've been blessed. Look at all the blessings that God's done for me. Last of all, I've been blessed by the candle of the Lord to guide my steps. Look in verse 3. Job said, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Old Job said, it's dark. The way of a sinner is dark. But he said, God shined his light on me. Aren't you glad for the day the Lord shined his light down? Aren't you glad for the day when he reached down and touched you on the shoulder and said, you need to be saved? Aren't you glad for the day that you said yes to the Lord and God shined his light? But I'm thankful for the day that God shined his light and said, this is the way. Walk ye in it. This is the path I want you to take. This is the journey that I've got you on. It's going to end up in the celestial city, but right now, I want you to take one step at a time, and I'll guide you every step of the way. I told these young folk this morning, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord, all thy heart, lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Our problem is when we start thinking our human reasoning, well, I guess God wants me to change jobs. I guess God wants me to move. I guess God wants me to take this promotion. If you haven't prayed about it, if that's not the perfect will of God, just stay put. You'll make a mistake every time. Don't get out of the will of God. If you get out of the will of God, get back in the will of God. But old Job said, I'm thankful. I've been blessed that God has led me. God, listen, even in his trials, even in his heartache, even in all what he's lost, Job said, God has blessed me. God has directed me. God is performing his good work in me. I'll not go back. He'd stop around and say, glory to God for the milk puddles. Because that milk, it'll turn into butter. And that butter, oh, what a blessing that butter is. So when you go out this week and you sit down with that big old cat head biscuit and the waitress brings you some of that margarine over, you say, no ma'am, do you have any butter? And you take that butter and you slab it on that, I dare you to get up and stomp around a little bit and say, glory to God, how good he's been to me. How good he's been. He's a lot better to me than I am to him. He's blessed me more than I was working around the house doing some stuff yesterday. If you go in my shed, you go in there at the risk of your own life. Amen. James hadn't been in mine, but I guarantee it's probably a whole lot like his. But Miss Joanne, I walk in there and I look around and I find tools that I didn't know I had. I find sockets that I didn't know I had. I look around and my wife says, yeah, if you'd go in there a lot more often, you'd find all. But I find stuff that God's blessed me with, Brother Steve. I find things that God's blessed me with. And I say, Lord, I don't deserve them. I don't deserve these pocket knives. I don't deserve these shotguns. Lord, I don't deserve the things you've done for me. But Lord, I sure am thankful for them. And just stomp around that milk puddle a little bit and just say, glory to God for the butter.